Remain standing, take your Bibles, turn them over to Psalm 121. Hopefully your Bible should fall open to that page, and hopefully it will fall open to that page throughout the year. Not that we're going to be on that particular psalm that long, amen, but I want you to be meditating upon this psalm all year long, Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Of course, the new psalm of meditation is going to be Psalm 1 for February, but do not neglect Psalm 121. Psalm 121, everybody there say amen.
Amen?
Amen. By the way, the only way that you and I are going to make it in 2015 with all the challenges that come and the difficulties that will come up is if our help is coming from the Lord, amen? Many things are going to creep up upon us, but God's promises are sure, His word is sure, and His word is true, and any and every problem that you face will be found in His help, amen? He is sufficient. Psalm 121, everybody there say amen.
Amen.
We probably have about two more messages out of this today and then next week, and then we should be done and getting into Psalm number one. Amen. So read all eight verses together with me, starting with number one. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. This psalm has been known as a traveling psalm. It is believed that the pilgrimage that they would do back and forth to Jerusalem, they would sing this psalm and quote this psalm on their travels. It's the protection psalm, and it's just an overall psalm that you can pray for God's protective hand upon you no matter where you're going. And I do pray that you will ponder upon this and just know that God is by your side wherever you go. If you belong to Him, if you're His child, if you've been born again, if you're saved, He's your child. Now, if you're not born again, if you're not saved, you're not His child, He still loves you too, and He still wants to be your God as well. Amen. But you've got to invite Him in, and you've got to repent of sins and turn to Him. And I do pray that you'll want that protection today if you're here without it. And if you're here today and you know Christ, amen, relish in that no matter what problems come your way, because many problems are going to come in 2015. We've got to be able to run and say, I will look unto the hills, when it cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That's my God. Amen. Father, bless now in the message this morning. Lord, I don't know all the difficulties that are here this morning. I don't know all the needs that are here this morning. But I do know the help is in you, Lord, this morning. I do know that for every difficulty that we face in 2015, we'll need to come back into this psalm and recognize and realize, remember that our help comes from the Lord. It's not going to come from ourselves. It's not going to come from man, Lord, although you may use man indirectly, but ultimately, our help comes from you, and our help is in you. And Lord, because we have you, we have everything that we need in our help. Lord, bless now in the message today. I pray for a soul that's maybe wavering, maybe a soul that's unstable today, maybe a soul that just needs to be convinced that you truly are their help, and the help is in you. Convince that soul by the Spirit's power and by the preaching of your word today. You say it pleased you that the foolishness of preaching would go out that men could be saved, Lord. And so I pray that if there is one lost today, that they would hear that how much you love them, Lord, how much you died for them and put up with for them, buried and rose again the third day for their payment of their sins. They can be saved today. For us as Christians, may we find comfort in the Psalms for the soul that we have in our hands. Lord, bless now in the ministry of song and also in the sermon, and we'll thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You got a special?
Chains with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas. they began to sing. Their chains were loosed, and they were free. We bless your name.
Charmaine, for that blessing and song. Amen. Praising God's name for what he's done and who he is and where we need to be. Praise the Lord. Well, we have been looking at Psalm 121. Our help is in the Lord. And I don't know about you, but we have looked at this in the marriage class this morning. We talked about how when the going is good, we don't seem to, you know, rely upon the Lord as much for our help. But boy, you let the tough times kick in. Boy, you let the distressful times kick in. And boy, we need help. Amen. And we're Johnny on the spot on our faces asking the Lord's help. And this psalm is actually is traveling possibly to or from Jerusalem. It has been known as a traveling psalm. And he is looking to the Lord for his help. He's not looking to the hills from his help, although he does say, I will lift up mine eyes. And by the way, you know, oftentimes when you do lift your eyes up, you get a clear picture. Amen. Looking down, you can't see a whole lot, but looking up, you can see a whole lot. And, you know, not just visually, but also spiritually. God is up and God is all around and God is where he is all around us. But, you know, just looking up just has that presence of mind of saying, Lord, I'm looking up and I'm looking to you. I don't know what you're going through this year, but we're going to need help, all sorts of help. We need help every day, all day, but we're going to need help most of all when we may face a divorce. You know, when you face a divorce, you got to say, my help coming from the Lord. Amen. When you face something like a disaster, we're going to have some disasters. We got to say, my help coming from the Lord. We're going to have some delusions when things just don't turn out the way you think they should. You got to say, my help comes from the Lord in delusions. Amen. When you have some destruction happen or some damage happens or some depths of despair that you find yourself in or even divisions that you fall into, you got to say, my help comes from the Lord. You got to turn to the Lord. Why? Man can't help you when you get in those situations. And the psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Discouragement may come. My help still comes from the Lord. Defilement may come. My help still comes from the Lord. Disagreements may come this year. Disappointments or a desertion may come. A lot of things may happen before the end of 2015. God forbid, but death even may happen in 2015. My help still cometh from the Lord. My wife just got a call yesterday. Her dad's brother died in Puerto Rico. They were kind of expecting it. He was having some illnesses and some problems, but then he just expired. And so some death may come to you. And you've got to turn and say, my help cometh from the Lord. He's the only one that can help you. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Hey, some of our own beloved folks in this room may catch something and go to be with the Lord. Didn't Isadora have a chronic condition last year that just seemed to persist and persist and persist? And then come July, she went home to be with the Lord. You know, and when those things happen, my help still has got to come from the Lord to help me get through that. That's tough. And so the psalmist said, I'm going to lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. My decision help has got to come from the Lord. In desperation, my help's got to come from the Lord. When I need direction, my help comes from the Lord. I need help from the Lord no matter where I'm at. And the psalmist is crying out to his God and my God. And may I say, his God is my God. Amen. We share the same God. Amen. Jehovah God of the Bible is the same God that you have. And that's who he's calling on here is Jehovah God, the self-existent one. If you've not committed Psalm 121 to memory, I would encourage you to do so. Amen. This will aid you more in 2015 than you'll ever know. Amen. Over the last several weeks, we have been talking about our help coming from the Lord in 2015 and having some psalms for the soul. And we looked at, first of all, in verses 1 and 2, the description of our help. And we found the Lord is a direct help from above. I will lift up mine eyes, the psalmist said. But also we saw that our Lord is a dynamic help from above. And we looked at the words that were there. We looked at the word my. And we saw that our Lord is a personal help. He belongs to me. We saw our Lord is a potential help. Help comes with the possibility of assistance. He's on the way. Then we saw that our Lord is a perpetual help. He cometh, a TH at the end, continual action verb, but he's also a potent help. The Lord means Jehovah, the self-existence one, the one who needs no support. Aren't you glad that we have a God who needs no support? Now, he made angels, but he doesn't need them. He made animals, but he doesn't need them. He made you and I, but he doesn't need us. God is self-existent. He needs no support. He's the self-existent one. He says, my help cometh from the self-existent one, the Lord, Jehovah, the one who is. But we also saw not just those helps. We have an indirect help from below. He sometimes uses man. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. And so as we looked at the description of our help, the direct help from above and the dynamic help from above, we went into the second point, the depth of our help. And we saw that our Lord is an omnipotent help. Notice what it says down there. It said he made heaven and earth. And we found out that God made everything very good. We also saw God just not a making God, but a moving God. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. Amen. God can move. And he can prevent movement. If any of you ever gotten a text from my wife, she normally puts on there 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Our God is a moving God, but he can prevent movement as well. And he can make everything all right in our lives too, because he said it and it was done. And he is a steadfast God and he is there. And if we're anchored in him, that's all we need. And so he's an omnipotent God for us. He's a making God, a moving God. But then we saw another point as well. Amen. And that's where we stopped at. We have an omnipresent help. Notice what it says down there in verse number 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. We have an omnipresent help. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times. You know that God doesn't go to sleep. He doesn't need a nap. He doesn't need to be woken up. He doesn't have a sick day. How many of y'all going to call in sick tomorrow? You know, you get these little viruses and these bugs and you call in sick, amen. How would you like it if God called in sick when you called in the prayer? You went to the Lord and said, oh God, I need help. My marriage is falling apart. I'm sorry, God's sick today. He's taking some aspirins. Call him in the morning. Then the morning comes. You say, okay, I've waited a day. I'm sorry, God's still sick. He's got the flu. He's going to be down for at least a week. So your prayers will have to wait. Go ask Michael the archangel or Gabriel. Maybe they'll help you out. Or go ask Peter. He's supposed to be the gatekeeper. Aren't you glad God didn't get sick? He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber, the Bible says. And so our God is an omnipresent God. He is everywhere at all times. The word keepeth there means to protect, to guard, amen. He that keepeth thee, or he that protects or hedges you about or guards you, he will not slumber. And verse number 4 says, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God is not going to get tired. So turn over to Isaiah chapter 40 with me. I want to show you something real quick. Isaiah chapter 40, hold your finger there. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah talks about how our God is an omnipresent God. He's everywhere at all times. He doesn't need any sleep. He's not going to take a vacation. Isaiah 40, verse 28, hast thou not known, he says, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of all the ends of the earth. By the way, your word for Lord there should be capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That means Jehovah. The self-existent one. It's not a lowercase O-R-D, it's uppercase, which means that is Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth. Notice this, fainteth not. Aren't you glad God doesn't faint when you need help? Amen. Neither is weary. Aren't you glad God didn't get weary when you need help? Amen. We get weary. We give up. We quit. We faint. But God doesn't. That's why we do things in God's strength, not our own. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Amen. That's you and I. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. That's you and I. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. It says he is not weary in verse 28. He doesn't faint in verse 28. What does it say in the psalm? He will not slumber or sleep. God's not going to get weary. Go back to Psalm 127 in verse number 2. Because God doesn't sleep, when your help is needed, notice what he says in verse number 2 of Psalm 127. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. What am I saying? I'm so glad that because God doesn't sleep, you and I can. Aren't you glad? You can give it to the Lord. You can go to sleep. You can lay yourself down to sleep. Lord, David said, I laid myself down to sleep, for the Lord sustained me in Psalm 3. So because he doesn't slumber, because he doesn't sleep, I don't have to lose any sleep. How many times have you stayed up late at night tossing and turning over an issue, tossing and turning over an item? God, how's it going to work out? How's my children going to make it? Lord, what kind of job am I going to get? Lord, what kind of grades am I going to get? Lord, what about my wife? Lord, what about my husband? Lord, what about my in-laws? Lord, what about my mom? What about my dad? Lord, what about this situation? Lord, what about? We toss and turn, we toss and turn. He says, hey, don't do it. I'm giving you sleep. Pray about it. Leave it with me. And go and you lay yourself down. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. God doesn't take a rest so that we can rest. The story is told over in 1 Kings about the prophets of Baal. Turn over to 1 Kings in chapter 18. And the prophets of Baal were trying to get their God's attention. And they couldn't get their God's attention. And the man of God mockingly said, maybe he's asleep. Go over to 1 Kings chapter number 18. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, pick it up with me down in verse 26. The prophets of Baal were challenged by Elijah to see if they could answer by fire. And the God that answered by fire would win. So they're in the process of calling on their God in verses 24 all the way down. Let's pick it up at verse 26. It says, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they addressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. They leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey. Or peradventure, notice this, he sleepeth and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any answer nor any that regarded. Their God wasn't asleep because their God was not a God. But let me tell you this, behind every God is a demon. Behind every idol is a demon. And you're either going to serve God Almighty in heaven, Jehovah God, or you're going to serve a false God. One or the other. So don't tell me, oh, it's just an idol. It's just a statue. It's just this. No, behind every idol is designated a demon to capture your worship because Almighty God wants to be worshipped by you, but also the devil wants to be worshipped by you. And you will worship one or the other. There is no in between. There is no middle ground. You're either serving and worshiping God or the devil, period. Preacher, I don't like that. Well, you don't have to like it, but it's true nonetheless. It's true. If you're not here worshiping Almighty God, Jehovah God, if you're not serving him and spirit and truth, you are serving an idol, a demon, and that's the end of the story. That's what they were doing. That's why they didn't get any answer. Aren't you glad that our God doesn't sleep? You go down the rest of the passage, verse 30, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, and he got all the things together. We're not going to read all that passage, but notice what he come down there in verse number 36. Came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. He's not shouting, he's not cutting himself, not jumping up on the altar. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Notice capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah God, the self-existent one, the one who is not weary, the one who doesn't sleep, the one who answers by fire, and consume the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones. Now you know you good if you burn up stones. And the dust, you good if you burn up dust. And licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah is the God. The Lord, Jehovah, is the God. What happened? We have an omnipresent God. He that keepeth thee is not going to sleep or slumber. God doesn't take a nap. He doesn't take a rest. He's forever working for us. So I don't care where you're at. I don't care where you go. You can call on God. That's why the psalmist said, I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. He doesn't take a nap. He doesn't take a rest. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't give up. He doesn't stop. He doesn't quit. He goes and he goes and he goes. Why? He's self-existent. And he needs no support. Back over in Psalm 121. God will often answer yes. Sometimes he will answer no. Sometimes he will say just wait. But when you're waiting, know that he's an omniscient God and he omnipresent God. He knows and he sees, and we've got to wait on him. We may not get what we want when we want it, but we will get it when we need it, if we need it. You don't need it, you won't get it. Sometimes you get things you don't need, and God's just going to test you and prove you to see what you're going to do with it. Then you get it, and you find out you really didn't need that anyway. Amen. Not only do we have an omnipresent God, he is everywhere. We have an omniscient God. Notice verse 5.
The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And this is interesting. Omniscient means he's all-knowing. So my Lord is an omniscient help, not just an omnipresent help, everywhere at all times, but he's an omniscient help. He knows all. Our Lord knows what we need, when we need it, why we need it, where we need it, and how we need it. Figure that one out. He knows it all. I mean, I can't wrap my brain around that. But he knows it. The idea in these verses is God is ever present to deliver us no matter where we're at. Notice what he says. God is our shade. Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. He says, the sun shall not smite thee by day nor the moon by night. Now, us Arizonians know about the sun smiting you by day. But the moon smiting you by night? The sun, we understand, the heat of the day, hot situations, you know, sunstroke and heat stroke. You know, you be in the sun too long, you get sunburn, too much exposure on the flight line. I remember they used to have these warnings when they couldn't be out on the flight line because the concrete got too hot. And they would raise certain warnings and they couldn't be out on the flight line because it was just too hot. They say you can actually cook some eggs out there on the flight line. Now, I haven't got out there to try it. But I was on the inside, and I would put a hand outside, and that's enough for me. But here the psalmist is not just talking about the traveling that he can take. The idea could be any hot situations that we find ourselves in or any kind of heated travel that we can find ourselves in. The journey as we toil throughout the day, God is going to be there to watch out for us. Spiritually speaking, when the going is good in times of prosperity, we can still take the blessings of God for advantage, and they can smite us. The sun, the heat rays. But God can protect us from anything that may come during the daytime, whether it's heat or whether it's hot travel or a hot situation. But then you look at the moon by night. You know, the moon is supposed to be pretty peaceful. Why would he say the moon by night? Now, yeah, I understand the shade upon thy right hand. I understand the right hand of honor being the position of honor and the sun smiting thee by day. But the moon by night? Interesting, when you look up the word moon, it comes from the Latin luna, which we get lunar, which we also get lunatic. Do you know the moon makes people do some strange things? Now, I'm not talking about the Wolfman on TV. I'm talking about the moon normally. They say in the sanitariums where people go and the asylums where people go, when there's a full moon, the activity in the asylums is more than normal. The moon has an effect on people, has an effect on their behavior, has an effect on you. Now, we already know it has an effect on the earth. It causes the waves and the high and low tides. But it could affect you as well. It could influence your behavior. Wow. And if it doesn't affect your behavior, it might affect somebody's behavior next to you who will affect you. Do you know that most crimes take place at night? During the moonlight? Why? You don't need natural light because you can see quite well with moonlight. So why would they wait till there's a full moon to do that activity? Could the moon possibly have an effect on people? Yes. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Wow. So the psalmist is saying, hey, if I'm traveling, if I'm out on the road there, the bandits could easily get me at night. The lunatics could get me. Those that are unsavory characters, they could easily get me. And so, Lord, protect me as I travel, whether it's day or whether it's by moonlight. There are people that can have lunatic behavior. There's some things that could hurt me. It could be the cold of night or it could be the dangers of night. Because people do strange things when the moon is full. And we need God's protection at night from others. By the way, how many of y'all sleep with a bat next to your bed? You don't use that bat during the day. You got that bat for the nighttime. I mean, y'all got a Smith & Wesson. Amen. You don't have that for the daytime most of the time. You got that for the nighttime. I mean, y'all got a double-barrel shotgun, amen? You don't use that for the daytime. You do that for the nighttime. You say, Christians have guns? Hey, it's one of my amendment rights. Why shouldn't I have one? Well, what if you shoot somebody? They in my house, they deserve to get shot. I live there, not them. That's called self-defense. I got a wife and children to protect. Now, if you want to do kung fu on them, that's on you, amen. You kung fu all you want to, amen. I can't kung fu when I'm half asleep, but I can sure pull the trigger. Amen. Pastor, that's mean. No, that's self-defense. Amen. Hey, God didn't raise no fool. David said in Psalm 3, I laid me down and slept. I awake for the Lord to sustain me. Whether I'm traveling by day or by night, the Lord can sustain me wherever I go. Amen. Isaiah 12:2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Hey, when we get into 2015, these situations are going to come. The lunatics are going to come out. The lunatical situations are going to come out. The sun may get me by day. It may be tough, and I don't know how to respond. God is still my help. He's still my help. I don't care if it's day or it's night. God is my help. He's an omnipresent help. And he's an omniscient help. He goes on to say something else. God is not just our shade, but he's our shield. Verse 7, he says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Notice that. Preserve thee from all evil. Man. All evil. Do you know outside of these doors there's evil? Do you know when you go to your job, there's evil? You know when you go home, there's evil? You know when you go to the supermarket, there's evil? You know wherever you go, there's evil? You say, preacher, why? Because there's a real devil. And he really influences people. And so there's a real devil, and not only does he influence people, he actually downright possesses some people. And so the Bible says here, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, every evil that could be outside these walls. What is all evil? It's outside forces of evil working against us. It's Satan's demons and his servants. Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hey, folks, look to your left, look to your right, look in back, look in front. That is not your enemy. There's a real enemy. And the enemy uses those people around you that you see. And so he says, the Lord's going to preserve me. He's going to keep me from all evil. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, God's job is to protect you from all evil. But you know, you've got to be in God's will to get that protection. You step outside of God's will, guess what? You are he's under no obligation to protect you. Long as my children are under my roof, I have every right to protect them, and I'm obligated to protect them. But if they get outside of my protective area, I don't know where they're at. I don't know how to protect them. Now, I'm glad God's not like me. God knows how to protect. He said, I'm just not going to do it. Teach you a lesson. Bring you back. Always for correction. Always for correction. God is our shield. He's going to preserve us, according to verse 7. He's preserving us from all evil without, but also he preserves us from evil within. Notice what he says in that verse. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Let's park there for just a minute. That's where most of us find trouble. Your soul. For those of you who don't know, man is made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. The body is the physical part that you see. The spirit is either saved of God or it's man's spirit that is unregenerated. But then the soul of man comprises his mind, his emotions, and his will. And that's where most of us get in trouble. If you don't have the mind of Christ, you're already in trouble. If your emotions are out of balance, not in check with the word of God, you're already in trouble. If your will is not God's will, you're already in trouble. Amen. Hey, remember last week, a couple weeks ago, Brother Farnham, the sovereign will of God. Scriptural will that was there, the servant's will, amen. There's a lot of different wills there. But he says, you're going to preserve my soul. Why? Obviously, the psalmist says, you have my soul. You have my mind. You have my emotions. You have my will. God doesn't have it. Then that means you have it. And if you have it, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Go back to Romans chapter 7. Show you a verse of scripture here. One of the godliest saints of the New Testament struggled with this. Romans chapter 7. His name was the Apostle Paul. And as Paul is dealing with this dilemma of his soul, his mind, emotions, and his will, he struggles. Notice verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. How many of y'all can agree with that? Amen. The things I do, I don't allow it to be done. For what I would, that do I not. The things that I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, that I do. He said, things I despise most, that's what I end up doing. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. He said, if I'm going to do that, the thing that I don't want to do, I got to agree with God's law that his law is okay. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Why, Paul? For to will is present with me. He said, I want to do right, but how to perform that which is good, I find out. He said, I cannot seem to find how to do right. For the good that I would, I do not. He said, every good thing that I want to do, I don't do. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He said, I keep finding myself doing evil. What did he say over there in Psalms? He preserves me from all evil. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul came to revelation. If I'm not trying to do this, but I'm doing it anyway, I got to recognize that it's just sin in me. I'm a sinner. By the way, if you haven't recognized that you're a sinner, recognize that today. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of those same sins is death. But preacher, I'm trying to live by the law. The wages of sin is death. And the law shows you that you're a sinner in need of death. Pick it up with me in verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He said, I find this law, God's law, that when I'm going to try to do right, I've got this evil present with me, preventing me from doing that which is right. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He said, inwardly, I want to do what's right. I believe I ask for a raising of hands. How many of y'all want to do right? We'd all say, yes, we all want to do right. And Paul said, I want to do right too. But notice what he says in verse 23. But I see another law in my members or my body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. What did I say about the soul? It's comprised of the mind, the emotions, and the will. What did Paul say here? This law in my members is warring against the law of my mind. My mind is telling me one thing. My body is doing something else. What's going on? Sin. Sin. By the way, you can't live like that. You will be in such turmoil in your spirit. You'll be in such turmoil in your mind and your emotions and your will are trying to live up to a law. Paul says, hey, I praise God that I'm not living for the law anymore. The law just tells me I'm doomed, I'm condemned, I'm a sinner, I'm wretched, and I need a Savior. I need a Savior. Over there he said, he will preserve thy soul, which is your mind, emotions, and your will. Paul said, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. What does it do? Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of who? God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Friend, if your mind is not in tune with the law of God, with the word of God, with the spirit of God, you're going to live a defeated life. Always trying, but never meeting the mark. Always trying, but never meeting the mark. Hey, it's not about you trying. It's about letting God work. He said, he shall preserve thy soul. That's God's job. Our job is just to walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. You should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Preacher, how do I do that? It sounds mystical. Just obey God. Just obey God. What you know to do, do it. Isn't that living by the law? No, it's living by the word of God. You can't live by the law and live. Amen. And so the psalmist said, not only is he my shade on my right hand, he's my shield. He's going to preserve me. He's going to preserve me from without all evil. He's going to preserve me from within. He's going to preserve my soul. You'd be surprised the mind game that Satan will give you if you give him the opportunity. He gets into your mind. He plays games with you. He'll start saying, that brother, that sister doesn't like you. He'll start saying, that preacher's preaching right at you right now. Now, God may be speaking to you. But guess what? I'm not omnipresent. I don't know what you did this week. I'm not omniscient. I don't know what you're thinking about right now. So when you sit there and say, he know he just saying that at me. I am no mind reader. I wish I was. Make my sermons a lot easier. I can just preach on your sin and we'd be good. Amen. To point all y'all sins out. Okay, let's start with Jerry's, then we'll get Ken's and then Derek's. Go down with the Homer boys, go with the Pelts, and keep going on. And I just need. I'm not a mind reader. I just preach the word. Hey, I'm glad that the Bible gives us God's mind and God's way of how to do things. Because left up to me, Satan tells me lies too. He tells you to cut corners. He tells you God's not fair. He tells you if God was really fair, he wouldn't let you suffer. He would tell you if God really loved you, he wouldn't do this bad thing to you. He tells you all sorts of things. If God really loved you, he'd give you a better pastor. Definitely don't believe that one. Don't believe that one. I believe every church has the pastor they deserve. And the pastor that you have before you is the pastor that you prayed for. So if I don't do it, guess what? You ain't prayed for it. Or if you prayed for it, you might be the only one praying for it. Amen. We prayed for a man that only preached 20-minute sermons. You didn't pray hard enough about that one. Amen. I could be Kenny Baldwin and be up here for an hour and a half. Amen. Amen. That's standard for him. Amen. Just an hour is standard. Amen. You'd be amazed, though, at the mind trips. And so he says he will preserve thy soul. Go over to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. I'm showing you a verse of scripture here. 5:23, and we're going to finish the rest of this up next week by God's grace. 5:23, some of y'all praying that I'd stop right now. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and notice what Paul here says to the Thessalonians here. As he's giving them a bunch of short things, starting in verse 15, he says, matter of fact, go to 14. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Why? That all starts in the mind. No, it's feeble-minded. What do you say over there? Preserve thy soul. What is the soul? Mind, emotions, and the will. What does he say here? Exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, mind, emotions, and the will. Support the weak, be patient toward all men. Why? Because sometimes we get affected in the mind and Satan plays games on us. See, then render evil for evil. Why? They could have had a mind trick played on them from Satan. So you don't want to render evil for evil. Plus, that's not God's way. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Notice this. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the spirit? It's either of God or it's of man, saved or lost. The soul is the mind, emotions, and the will. And the body is our body that we have right now. And so Paul prayed for them and he said, look, I'm going to pray for you. The psalmist said, Lord, I want you to preserve my soul even forevermore. By the way, God is able. God is able. Do your mind and emotions kind of play tricks on you sometimes? Yes, they do. Do they kind of get out of whack sometimes? Yes, they do. If they're not balanced by the word of God, it's going to get you in trouble. They will. Ladies, more so than men sometimes. By the way, sometimes we second guess ourselves. And God's telling us to step out by faith and do something. And we second guess ourselves in our mind. And we think, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, the devil's good about second guessing. Yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of that fruit? The devil's good at making you second guess stuff. I'm going to step out by faith and trust God. Well, if I was you, I wouldn't do that. Well, why wouldn't I do that? Because if you step out by faith, this may happen. And this may happen. But also, if I step out by faith, God might bless. And matter of fact, God told me to step out anyway. So, I'm stepping out. Amen. And God blesses. Hey, Kenny said it perfectly. We had all this money that we tried to collect, this little bit of money to put down on the building. We stepped out by faith and signed an agreement saying we're going to have all this money. We didn't have all the money. And I said, God, we need money. We need help. You know what I started saying? I'm looking to the hills. What's coming? My help coming from the Lord. I couldn't look to the bank no more. The bank wasn't giving up nothing. I said, Lord, if you don't send a miracle, we ain't going to make it. My help coming from the Lord. And what happened? Kenny said best. $500,000 got dropped down in our lap. Why? Our help came from the Lord. God said, step out by faith. The devil said, oh, you don't want to do that. Wait till you got this. Wait till you got this. Wait till you get this. Wait till you get this. I'll be waiting until I'm old as Methuselah. I'm just going to step out by faith and say, amen, God, that you said it. Amen. I'm stepping out on it. Amen. And God blessed it. Hey, friend, what is it God is telling you to step out by faith on? The psalmist said, hey, look, he's going to preserve my soul. Go back to Psalm 121. He said, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, the evil without. He shall preserve thy soul of the evil within, of the second guessing of myself, the mind trips. Amen. Satan will say, "You're abandoned ship. Do it yourself. Cut corners. Do it your way. Don't wait on God. God's not going to hear you." The psalmist said, no, I have an omnipresent help. I have an omniscient help, and I have an omnipotent help. And so I'm going to look unto the hills when it comes to my help. My God is the same God that Elijah called upon when the prophets of Baal couldn't get an answer. That's my God. My God is Jehovah God. He's going to preserve me from all evil. He's not going to sleep. He's not going to slumber. He's going to keep me. He's going to be my shade. He's not going to let the sun smite me. He's not going to let the moon smite me by night. He's going to preserve me from all evil. He's going to preserve my soul. That's my God. Amen. And I'll say that's my God too. That's my God too. Hey, I don't know what you're going to face in 2015, but I know you're going to face something. At the beginning of last year, if you would have told me that Isadora was going to die, I would have not believed you. But guess what? She did die. I don't know what's going to happen this year. I have no clue. But I know this. My Bible says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My Bible says, he's not going to suffer my foot to be moved. My Bible says, he that keepeth me will not slumber. My Bible says, he that keepeth Israel is neither going to slumber nor sleep. My Bible says, Lord is my keeper. Lord is going to be my shade upon my right hand. My Bible says, the sun's not going to smite me by day. The moon's not going to smite me by night. The Lord's going to preserve me from all evil. He's going to preserve my soul. He's going to keep me intact. My job is just to keep myself in his care. My job is just to make that God my God. My job is to make sure that I have a personal relationship with him. And make sure that he truly is my God. Hey, if you want that type of help this year in 2015, I guarantee you, you're going to need it. I know I'm going to need it. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know one thing. The psalmist didn't either. And he said, the sun's not going to smite me by day nor the moon by night. He said, I can travel all I want to. And you're going to see next week. He said, my going out and my coming in. We're going to talk about that. He said, wherever I go, God's going to be there. By the way, wherever you go, God is there. Aren't you glad we have an omnipresent God, an omniscient God, an omnipotent God? He's everywhere. And according to Isaiah, he's not going to sleep. He's not going to get weary. He's not going to slumber. But the question is, where does he want you to go? What does he want you to do? What does he want you to be? Because where he wants you to go, what he wants you to do, what he wants you to be, he will be there as your help to be whatever it is. This psalmist says, I'm not staying put. I'm going. I'm going places. God's got some place for you to go in 2015. You've got to figure out where it is. Maybe it's deeper in your ministry. Maybe it's switching ministries and getting another ministry. Maybe it's stepping out of a ministry so you can get closer to him. Or maybe it's getting into more ministries that you can be better used by him. I don't know what it is that God would have for you, but I know this, that wherever you are, he's your help. Whatever he wants you to do, he's your help. I know whatever dilemma or disaster it is, he's your help. And I know this. Oftentimes, we don't call on him for help until we get in those sticky situations. Often, it's going to take a sticky situation for us. So you can count on God sending or allowing you to be in a sticky situation this year so that you can see his help. And you can say he's my help, and my help comes from the Lord. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around as the music begins to play in just a moment. Ask yourself today, is God your help? But before you answer that question, ask yourself this. Have you come to the point and place in your life where you've repented of your sins? Have you come to the place in your life where you have admitted before God that I'm a sinner? And I know I'm a sinner. And I know the wages of sin is death. But I also know the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I know this moment, if I died right now, I'm in danger of paying for my own sins in hell. But I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried and rose again for my sins, and he was risen again for my sins. And if you hear under the sound of my voice today, you say, "Preacher, I don't know if I died right now that God is my help to get me to heaven, but I'm concerned about it, and would you pray for me?" With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around, would you just raise your hand up so I can pray for you? Say, "Preacher, I'm here today, and I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven if I died. Would you pray for me?" Anyone like that at all? Man, woman, boy, or girl? How about you? Are you sure? Is heaven your home? Would you like some prayer about that? How about it? Is heaven your home? Are you sure you'd go to heaven? Are you concerned about it? How about it? Christian, are you going to face some things in 2015 that are out of your hands? Yes, you will. Will it be out of your control? Yes, it will. It might be by day, it might be by night. It may be you're going out or you're coming in, but the Lord is your keeper. He's not going to slumber. He's not going to sleep. Will you give it over to him, Christian? Will you let him fight your battle, Christian? Will you let him fight as your Lord? Because he's your help. I don't know what you're going through today, but I know this. Whatever it is, God is here to help. If you're unsaved, if you don't know heaven is your home, if you die before today is over, are you going to heaven? Father, you see the hearts exposed before you today. Lord, you see every person's motives today. Lord, oftentimes we don't call upon you as our help until we get into a situation. But, oh God, when we do, I'm so thankful that you're there, whether by day or by night. By sunlight or moonlight, Lord, you're there to preserve our soul from all evil. Lord, you want to keep us in the center of your will. Help us, Lord, to stay in that position and that relationship with you. Lord, there's a situation on the horizon in our lives. Help us to lift up our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help. Lord, help us to call upon you, our Lord, from which cometh our help. And Lord, for every sticky situation we seem to find ourselves in, may I trust and may we trust in the God of heaven to preserve our soul, our mind, our emotions, and our will. It's so easy to let Satan take them and play with them and toy them. Lord, help us to be anchored in the word. Help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that we know that our labor is not in vain. Lord, help us be cognizant of the fact that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God, help us to remember the real enemy is Satan and the demonic forces without and sometimes within our mind, emotions, and will. God, help us to stabilize ourselves, anchor ourselves in the Word of God, and trust the Word each and every step of the way. Bless now with this invitation. Lord, may the message speak to our hearts in 2015 about our help being from the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand to our feet. No one looking around. God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you need to pray about a situation that's going on right now. Or maybe there's something on the horizon that has potential to get out of hand. As Charmaine plays and as we sing this morning, may God speak to your heart. I don't know what it is, but I do know this. The psalmist said, "The sun's not going to smite me by day, nor the moon by night." Whether it's danger, despair, decisions, direction. Do you need Jesus Christ today to be your Savior? If you're a man, we'll get a man to show you how you can be saved. If you're a lady, we'll get a lady to show you how you can be saved today. But it's your choice. We'd like someone to show you today. How about it today? He's my help. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. How about it? What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Oh, what needless pain we bear.
He's a direct help from above. He's my help. Lifting up my eyes to my help.
Because we do not
He's a dynamic help. He's my own personal Lord. My own potential help. My own perpetual help. My potent help. My God, my Savior, my rock, my high tower.
Have we trials
and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere?
Is there trouble anywhere?
Jesus is still our Savior.
We should never be discouraged.
Take it to the Lord in prayer. About when your friends forsake you, you still gonna be there. It's my help.
Can we find a friend so faithful?
No friend like Jesus.
Who will all our souls
casting all our cares upon him,
share.
Who cares for you? About him.
Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Father, thank you so much for being our Savior. Well, thank you that you're omniscient. Lord, you know what will befall us in 2015. Well, just like you did last year in 2014, you knew all the events of Isadora. Lord, you knew how we would respond. You knew how we would react. Lord, 2015 is no different. You already know what will befall us in 2015. You know the things that we will go through. You know our occupational woes, our health woes, our personal woes. Lord, you know the woes within the church walls. Lord, you know what we're going to face in 2015, and you are going to be our help in every situation and every circumstances that we find ourselves in. And so, Lord, I pray that we would take this psalm and meditate upon it throughout this week, knowing that you're going to be our shade by day, our defense by night. The sun's not going to smite us. The moon's not going to smite us. You're going to preserve our going out and our coming in. Lord, you're going to be there every step of the way in our journey in 2015. And we'll need to rely upon you and find ourselves in the center of your will. Lord, some things may even befall us today. And I pray whatever it is that befalls us, Lord, that we would be careful to give you the praise and the acknowledgement and the honor as an omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent God, knowing all, seeing all, having all power to govern our lives. Thank you for those that have responded today. Lord, meet the need in their life. I pray you would instruct us much in the meetings this afternoon and then in tonight. As we look to baptize some folks, we look forward to that blessing. And having your hands upon the message, I want to work in our midst in Jesus' name. Thanks, Pastor White, to come and